tomorrow, I'll go ahead and call the Treasury Oversight Committee meeting for August 12th to order here via Zoom. And Janelle, could you take roll call, please?
Yes. Janet Dutcher?
Here.
Gerald Frank?
Here.
Jennifer Kreitz?
Here.
Bob Gardner? Jennifer Weston? Brooke Behan? George Savage?
No.
Kirk Stapp? Dan Holler? Rob Patterson?
Here.
So we have five committee members here out of seven, and that makes a quorum. So we'll go ahead and proceed and move on to item number two, public comments. Seeing that we have no members of the public here, we'll move on to number three, which is a review and approval of our prior minutes from May 6th. Anybody have any corrections to the minutes that were published with the agenda? Hearing none, I'd ask for a motion and a second on this.
I'd move to
motion to approve the minutes for the quarter endings June 30th. Well, I'm sorry, May 6th.
So we have a first and a second. Janelle, will you call for the vote?
Janet Dutcher, how do you vote?
Yes.
Gerald Frank, how do you vote?
Yeah.
Jennifer Kreitz, how do you vote?
Yes.
George Savage, how do you vote?
Yes.
Rob Patterson, how do you vote?
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, moving on to number four. This is the quarterly investment report. This one is for the quarter ended June 30th, 2021. It is a quarterly report that's particularly important to the county because it's for the fiscal year end. So I'll turn that over to Gerald.
All right, let me share my screen. I think that's the one. Can everybody see my screen? Is that big enough?
Yeah, it's good for me.
For me.
Okay. So we'll just go over it really quickly. So the Treasury was in compliance with Mono County Investment Policy as of June 30th, 2021. Weighted average maturity on that date was 540 days. It is anticipated the county will be able to meet its liquidity requirements of its pool participants for the next 6 months. On the last day of the quarter, on a cost basis, the portfolio totaled $145,415,204, and market value was $147,204,294, or 101.2% of cost. What that means is, I'm sure everybody knows that, it means that our portfolio is actually valued more than what we purchased the investments for. All right. So as of 6/30/2021, the earned interest rate was 1.0922%. The next few pages are the actual investments. Does anybody have any questions on any of the investments that we have?
None here.
On there, okay. I have let's see here. You can see where I'm highlighting right here. Oracle did move to BBB. I know that Moody's uses Baa2, so still considered BBB. We're not concerned about that at this time. The reason they lowered it wasn't because they were having financial problems or anything. Moody's and S&P lowered it because they issued more debt, long-term debt, some more 30-year notes out there, and that's the reason they actually did it, not because of any type of financial issues. I'm assuming Moody's felt that they had a little bit too much outstanding debt long-term. It also matures in less than a year. Next May it matures. So we'll definitely keep an eye on it, but it doesn't look like we'll be selling that unless something else happens.
And if we were to sell it, we'd take a loss on it?
On this one, no, we would actually take a small gain on it. We're holding $500,000 worth. It's worth $507,000, but there's brokerage fee. You know, the brokers make their money, so we would actually just take a small little profit on it.
But we'd lose a 3.5% interest, or 2.5%.
Yeah.
We can't replace it with.
No, and the risk for it is not there yet. So, okay. To initiate a sale. So on this, so the distribution by asset category, I'm keeping a little extra in our bank account where it says cash. We're getting better interest off our bank now than we are with the plate, believe it or not.
That's depressing.
Which almost never happens, right? I mean, but late has gone down so low. They're down to, I think right now, 22 basis points. So I'm keeping a little bit extra cash in there. Late has gone down a lot in July because that's where a lot of our bond payments are due. So in July, we have like $14 million that goes out in apportionments and bond payments, that type of stuff. Where you see it is next quarter. So this quarter, we had a 1.09% earned interest rate. Next quarter, we're actually going up, even though I can't fill the yields that we've been getting, and they're rolling off. We're still going up because our cash has gone down, so we have less money in late at that lower interest rate. Here's our maturity distribution. We're filled pretty good. These are what's rolling off currently. These are very low. We had a lot of short-term callables that got called, and that's why there's not much money in the third and fourth quarters. And there was no way to refill those at a good enough yield, so we left them the way they were, and it did a little extra longer out to get a little higher yield. Any question? This is our most recent 14 months. Any questions on this one?
Seems the portfolio is still growing, but that could be because of bond funds from the GO bonds.
So
and property tax is growing.
Property tax is going. We have more or less leveled off now. Kind of, we're kind of there, but there's still $18 million of school bonds sitting in the portfolio. So as those get pulled out, you'll see a slight decline. But year over year, we've been increasing. The Treasury's been increasing year over year, definitely. This is the Mono County Treasury Pool comparison for the quarter. You can see where we're at, up here, dark blue. The pink line is LAIF, where their average for the quarter was 0.33. They're down to 0.22 now. And then you can see the two-year Treasury there. And like I said, next quarter, I'm thinking we're going to probably pop up to about maybe 118, 119. No change in any of the pool participants for the quarter. And I think that was...
I think that's it.
Yeah. Any questions on the quarterly report?
You can go ahead and stop sharing. Any questions? All right. Thank you, Gerald. Moving on to number five, the Treasury Compliance Audit. And before we talk and review the results of this annual audit, I wanted to give a little bit of background. I think it would be helpful. I don't know that we've talked about this aspect of the Treasury Oversight Committee and why we have it, and how it came into being, and I've had quite a bit of experience with Treasury audits, Treasury oversight committees from the audit side when I was an auditor. And just a little bit of a war story. I was the auditor of record for Monterey County. It's a really big county. I've got billions of dollars in the Treasury invested from various jurisdictions. And they had a Treasury Oversight Committee, and that committee just wasn't real active. It was hard to get participants from the school and from the special districts to participate in the governance aspect of the Oversight Committee. And so Monterey County made a decision to disband their committee. This was in about 2007. And in 2000, and going into 2008, we know what happened in 2008 recession yet. And Monterey County happened to have $2 billion invested in Lehman Brothers, and $10 million invested in Washington Mutual, $20 million in Lehman Brothers, $30 million over altogether. And what happened almost overnight is Lehman Brothers became worthless. They had a municipal bond there. And then Washington Mutual became worthless too. And, Washington did not bail out those two firms or those organizations. And we were faced as the auditors working with the Auditor Controller's Office to figure out how do we write off and charge back to the jurisdictions $30 million of a loss of public funds. And that was quite an experience for me as an external auditor. Needless to say, shortly after that happened, the Treasury Oversight Committee was re-energized and put back together, and I think to this day it's still in there. So I want to talk about how we got to where we are right now with Treasury Oversight Committees and the investment pool. So first off, government code mandates that all counties have and manage an investment pool. And there are two mandatory participants. One is the county, and we are the owner of this pool, and the other is school districts. And what we do is we pull resources and invest the surplus funds in investments that earn a return on those investments. And then we manage those investments through overlapping maturity so they can be reinvested, making sure that we have enough money, enough cash in the checking account to pay the bills for the participants. So our county, our Board of Supervisors, has encouraged all of our various jurisdictions, mostly special districts, CSAs, fire districts, to participate in our investment pool. So we have quite a bit of voluntary participants, which enlarges the pool and gives us more leverage to be able to get better investments on the market. And that's what Gerald does, and I may be biased, but I think he does an excellent job of managing our investments and making sure that we first keep money safe, second, that all of the jurisdictions have enough money in our checking accounts so that we can cash the warrants and be able to pay bills, both the vendors and employees, and then third and lastly, give us a return on the investments. And you saw through the quarterly report that we just went through, we're exceeding what the market or what our benchmarks are, and we're earning a little over 1%. It's going to go up a little bit. And it's really tough in this market as investments are redeemed. And we have, like $1 million or $5 million come up. We have to go out there and find an investment that meets various criteria, as well as is not at a dismal, 0.2% return on our money. And so it's a bit of a challenge to not only find an investment out there, but also beat all of our competitors so that we can actually be able to say that we got that investment. So we got to where we are right now because of Orange County. So back in the 1990s, Orange County was incredibly leveraged with debt. And their ability to not only make debt service, but be able to continue providing public services was really in jeopardy. And for some reason, the professionals there, through their own infinite wisdom, decided to be able to fund public services by getting a return on their money. You know, so they were banking on profits. And so they invested in some pretty risky investments, and they gambled, and they lost. I think they ended up losing about $1.5 billion in public funds, and Orange County reached a point where they defaulted on debt and actually couldn't pay warrants. They couldn't pay vendors. They couldn't pay employees. And so they filed for bankruptcy. And through that experience of Orange County, as always is the case when there's a crisis, you know, government comes together, in this case, the state legislature, and they pass laws to reform what we do in order to ensure that that crisis doesn't happen again. And what they did is they passed a Treasury Oversight Committee regulations, forming giving counties the ability to form a committee to provide oversight over the investment pool management, our policies, and what we do. And those rules also put in place and restricted our ability of the types of investments that we could put our money in. You know, we can't invest in the stock market. We can't invest long term. It has to be 5 years or less. And we have to ensure that the investments that we do are investment grade and carry a certain credit rating within certain types of investments. And then, of course, we have the investment policy. And with all of that, the regulation said that the investment committee and the laws of what they say the investment pool needs to do shall be audited by an external auditor. And we engage our existing county external auditor to provide us with that compliance audit, and it carries a fee. Although I'll tell you from my experience that fee is less because there are external auditors. They're required to audit our investments anyway for financial reporting purposes. And so we get a little bit of a discount, although I think you'll probably choke when I tell you how much that is. So what we're going to do now is we're going to review the compliance audit and the results. And I want to add just one other a change that happened. This happened in, I thought I wrote it down, but it happened, I think in early 2000s, I can't remember the exact date. And they changed the Treasury Oversight Committee from being mandatory to voluntary. But they said if you have a Treasury Oversight, even though it's voluntary, you have to have an audit. If you choose not to have an Oversight Committee, then you don't have to have an audit. So I think it's important that the committee members here understand that arrangement, the audit that you have before you, and I'll tell you the fees when we're done, and the fee that we're charged is required by law, and it's required because we have this committee, and this committee has, you know, responsibility to provide oversight. And, you know, in my opinion, from my years of experience as an external auditor, that's being provided to ensure that what happened in Orange County doesn't ever happen again, and from my personal experience, to provide at least another layer of safety on the types of investments. Not that anybody could have seen the 2008 recession coming, and who could have foresaw that, you know, Lehman Brothers and Washington Mutual would go bankrupt themselves and default on those investments. But at least there's another layer of oversight. So I'm going to share my screen here, if I get this right, and go over the results of the audit. This is from the fiscal year ended 2020. The audit was completed in March of last year, and we've just been a little bit late getting it to the committee, and we're going to try and do it a little bit sooner this next year. So what you have before you is the opinion of our auditors, which is Price, Page & Company out of Clovis, California, or by Fresno. And basically, this is what's called an agreed-upon procedures We agree what the procedures are that the auditors are going to do. They then go test by performing those procedures, and then they give us opinion as to the results of those procedures. And so what they're doing is they're testing the compliance with these provisions right here in the government code. And then they say, in our opinion, and it is, the fees that we're paying is buying that opinion, not really buying, but providing the CPA firm so that they can provide us this service, opinion that we complied in all material respects with the code compliance for the Treasury Oversight Committee. Then couple pages back, I just want to go over a couple things so you understand what they did. You know, there's some background here which kind of covers what I just told you. Oh, there's that date. 2005 is when they made the Treasury Oversight Committee voluntary, and I think this committee was formed in 2013, if I remember right. It was formed in 2013. I might be right, wrong on that date. Yeah, in 2013, Mona County issued a resolution establishing the Oversight Committee. I don't know if that date is right, but that was before I got here. So one of the first things that they do is they check that we have an investment policy and that each year we bring that investment policy to the Board of Supervisors for adoption. It's a compliance requirement that is required by government code. And here they're saying we did that and it was approved. Then what they do is they then do some compliance check on the provisions within the code. And these are all of the provisions. They check that we invested in authorized securities. In other words, we didn't have any securities that weren't authorized. We didn't exceed the maximum percentage that's provided either by law or even more restrictive by investment policy. That we weren't invested in more than 5 years or the particular term that's associated with the type of investment. There are provisions for the securing and selecting brokers. Members are prohibited from certain political contributions for their position. There's a limit on gifts. There's reporting requirements, which is the quarterly report that Joe goes over every meeting. Calculation of treasurer costs, so there's embedded in code some parameters for that. There are some rules associated with voluntary depositors, and there are some rules with regard to any depositor, a voluntary depositor who wishes to withdraw. And then in this section right here says they performed compliance procedures, and as a result of those tests that they performed, they didn't find any non-compliance in the results of their tests. And you know, one of the things that they do every year, one of their procedures is they mail a questionnaire to every member attesting that you haven't accepted any gifts and that you haven't done the political contribution things that are prohibited by law, etc. And then they also interview and review our records with regard to myself and Gerald to complete their compliance requirements. So that itself is a Treasury Oversight Committee. It's a very thin document. It's only a few pages long. And, it costs, our auditors charged us $5,000 in 2020 for this particular report. That fee arrangement under contract that we have with our external auditors will be $5,191 in 2021. And then $5,347 in 2022. So just over $5,000. That's pretty typical for a Treasury Oversight Committee and investment pool of our size. Now, the one thing that I Gerald and I did discover just recently is that the county has been paying this fee out of our own pocket, and it really should be charged as an investment expense against the interest apportionment, and we are going to do that next year. I mean, we won't start it now because we haven't talked about it, but I wanted to make the committee aware that the interest apportionment has not included this audit that is required by code for the committee. With that, I am done, and I don't know, but it does require a motion to approve, but I'll ask for any comments or questions from members of the committee.
I just, thanks for catching that the pool should be paying for it. I think that's a great solution and suggestion and catch, and yeah, appreciate that. Happy to make a motion to approve.
Okay, I have a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Rob Patterson from the town. And is there any other further discussion? If not, Janelle, I'll ask for a roll call vote.
Janet Dutcher, how do you vote?
Yes.
Gerald Frank, how do you vote?
Yes.
Jennifer Kreitz, how do you vote?
Yes.
George Savage, how do you vote?
Yes.
And Rob Patterson, how do you vote?
Yes.
Motion and I passes. See that Dan Holler is here. Thank you for joining us.
Oh.
I think Rob voted for you.
Well, I'm here.
Yes.
All right. So the Treasury audit has been approved by the committee. And moving on to item number 6 on our agenda, which is a review of the transition to new safekeeping arrangements, this with U.S. Bank. So, Gerald, you want to take that?
Yeah, so about 3 months ago, we were informed that our safekeeper, Union Bank, which has been our safekeeper since, I don't know when, I look back at it before I got here in 2008, so that they were selling their trust to U.S. Bank. So we had to, during June, we decided to do it early prior to the end of the fiscal year. And we rolled all of our investments from Union Bank over into U.S. Bank. We did go through a balancing process along with U.S. Bank, also going through a balancing process to make sure everything came over correctly. And it did. One good thing is we accepted U.S. Bank's fee schedule, which should save the treasury pool about $2,000 to $3,000 a year. So it doesn't quite offset the whole audit, but it will offset a little bit. We'll have a little bit of reduction in fee.
And the purpose of safekeeping, Gerald?
So investments are all done electronically now. There is no such thing as a bearer bond anymore. So you have to hire a banking facility to hold all your investments for you.
And so in this case, U.S. Bank is holding all of our investments, and we transfer money back and forth when we buy and sell, or buy and redeem, rather, investments in the investment pool.
And their platform is a lot more up to date than Union Bank. Union Bank was all old school, let's say. For me to do a transfer, I had to write a letter, sign it, send it over, requesting the wire, requesting the purchase. Now all I have to do is I go in, I log into the U.S. Bank website, and put my trade ticket, just upload my trade ticket in, and we are good.
Yeah, and we're doing the trading in cash no longer with wires going forward. It'll be with ACH. Doesn't mean it has to go through our checking account rather than directly, but it will save us some money. And it's just as secure. Did I get that right?
Yeah. I like saving money.
Any questions on the safekeeping change for the investment pool? Okay, moving on, final two items on our agenda is number 7, if there's any questions or recommendations from anybody attending the meeting. Hearing none. Janelle, when is our next meeting?
Our next meeting is November 18th.
November 18th. Hopefully everybody has that on their calendar. For me personally, having regularly scheduled formula for when we meet has helped, make sure it's not a surprise and keep it blocked out on my calendar. No way to tell right now, given the current environment, whether it's Zoom or in person. I think at this point we'll just assume it's Zoom until we hear differently from the public health officials. And if there are no other comments or questions, I will adjourn the meeting at 11:34, according to my computer. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody, for showing up. There's a lot of counties that can't get their POC to participate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.